Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
This morning is the last Sunday of the church year, and we are already looking forward to the season of Advent. It will be a time of celebration and joy, a time of festive music and hot chocolate. The colors of purple will adorn our altar, and the lessons we will read and hear are some of the most well-known in Scripture. It will be a most glorious time. But today's message is not one that inspires Christmas carols. It is more preparatory in its focus, more concerned with proper foundation of belief and understanding. St. Paul pulls no punches when it comes to taking Christ for granted. I believe what we hear today is a good note to end the church year on, that we might find the necessity within ourselves to rededicate our faith more directly. My hope on this Sunday before Advent is to set a strong foundation in your hearts that will persist, making the upcoming church year authentically real. Our relationship with Christ is to be strengthened at the table. May we truly begin to understand the importance of consuming so precious a gift. As the Corinthians gathered at the table of the Lord, it was evident that something had gone wrong. An unworthy reception was beginning to separate the believers. The communion became divided between those of affluence and those who had little or nothing to offer. The supper being consumed by the first left nothing for the less fortunate. The practice of inequality in the body of Christ was a heresy that had to be dealt with, and Paul is about to set them straight. And before he begins, he gives them a warning. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's supper that you eat. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And after his chastisement, he ends on a note that tells the Corinthians that he is not done yet concerning this subject. And the rest I will set in order when I come, Paul informs. Do you think they're squirming in their seats? Today's lesson begs the question, do we truly feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with us? Do we understand the spiritual significance of the eternal workings of Christ experienced through the external sources of the sacraments? Advent begins a wonderful journey of great joy, but it also presents the truth most candidly. There is peace and comfort, and there is love and great joy, but there is also the gnashing of teeth. So imagine next Sunday, the holy table is set. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior rest quietly, but with infinite power. Great care is taken in preparing this table according to the instructions given by the Lord himself and through the guidance of tradition passed down by the early church. The table is a sacred place. It is holy ground. The canon of the Mass is a solemn celebration, solemn by our remembrance that he had to die for our sins, and a celebration because we know that he is risen and we with him. Through the grace and mercy bestowed upon us, the ultimate sacrifice of his death and resurrection, it is not something that is merely remembered, but a presence continuing to have the power to forgive and to punish. The real presence of Christ. It is Christ working through the sacrament of Holy Communion and the elements of bread and wine, keeping us from judgment and ensuring our place in heaven. It is at the table where we leave this world and experience a taste of the heavenly realm, a place where once again we are in communion with God. So how can a table so aptly set for blessing be the cause of condemnation and damnation? Should we even consider that this table, these elements of bread and wine, could be dangerous as well as life-giving? Paul would tell us yes. In verse 30, Paul responds to those who have become ill or even died as a result of consuming this sacrifice of praise unworthily when he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Let us understand clearly on this point. It is not the nature of the sacraments themselves that cause illness or even death, but it is the attitude of the one who comes to it. Those who come to the Lord's table without discerning the Lord's body do not receive life, but remain in death. The early church father, Chrysostom, says this, "For just as the presence of Christ, which conveyed to us those great and unspeakable blessings, condemned those who did not receive them, so also the Holy Communion becomes a means of greater punishment to those who partake unworthily." There is punishment for not partaking in the blessed blessings of Christ, choosing to ignore Christ and his church. But there is greater punishment to those who partake of the blessed sacrament, who have no relation with him and remain in unrepented sin. Trying to fake your way through as a Christian or coming to the table to take part in a great show from antiquity should be terrifying. Being a Christian is serious business. So how do we come to the table? How do we know as we kneel with outstretched hands to accept the body and blood of Christ that we are here worthily? St. Paul gives us the answer in a previous verse. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Examine ourselves. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, we will have the opportunity to come to the table. But before we do, we are instructed by the prayer book to read the exhortation. It is a call to remind us of the seriousness of coming to the Lord's table. If you will remember, it begins thus: "Dearly beloved in the Lord, ye who mind to come to the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Savior Christ, must consider how St. Paul exhorteth all persons diligently to try and examine themselves before they presume to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For as the benefit is great, if with a true and penitent heart and lively faith we receive that holy sacrament, so is the danger great if we receive the same unworthily." And then here's the scary part. "Judge therefore yourselves, brethren, that ye be not judged of the Lord." We must be willing to come to the table, emptying ourselves of all our impurities before consuming that which is so pure. Be alone with God in your mind, acknowledging your sins. Repent of your weaknesses that have pulled you down sinful paths. Turn and clear your conscience, and then come to the table. And if we are coming to the table in fear and trembling, we can be assured that our hearts are willing. And even if our thoughts cast doubts, we can be confident that the Lord understands our frailties and forgives us. It is in our weakness that he exposes our strengths. A true desire to be pure within will be seen as righteousness, because we gained righteousness when the sins that came between us and God were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is true, we must be willing to walk in the ways of the Lord to be acceptable to him, but we are not left on our own in this pursuit. Verse 32 tells us that we are chastened by the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. Our punishment is called by St. Paul a chastening, more in line with being educated or admonished so to continue on the true path. We can escape the judgment the world will be subjected to if we will accept the chastening of the Lord and repent. This is true healing. More important than overcoming any illness, making the burdens of today light in comparison to the great judgment. I will remind you once again of the third verse from our sermon hymn. One body we, one body who partake, one church united in communion blessed, one name we bear, one bread of life we break, with all thy saints on earth and saints at rest. The Holy Table, an incredible place of blessing and awe, where we, whether asleep or awake in the Lord, come to consume together in the life, the death, and resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know today's sermon has been a serious one, but appropriate, I believe, to build a stronger foundation for a new church year. And there is no better place to build than on the altar of the Lord, where we come together to partake of his most precious body and blood. There will be a time for us to lighten up and speak of hope and peace and love and joy. But we must understand that all the reasons for the season can only truly come by walking closely with the Father, by learning his will for our lives, and by becoming the children God has designed us to be. The real presence of Christ and the sacrament of Holy Communion calls each of us into union with the Father and with each other. Go deeper, grow closer, become more real, and come to the table as one body, and Jesus will meet you there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.